I want to start a new series with you, and I'm going to talk about how God guides. That's what we're going to do today. The second thing is how God provides. We're going to do that next week, the Lord willing. Then the third week, we're going to talk about how God protects. And then we're going to talk about how God gives us peace. As we think about our everyday life, I don't know about you, but I'm not just interested in knowing that God worked in the past. I want you to think about how God works in our life now. How God works in our life in circumstances and situations that you and I face. If we do not, I don't want to say, well, I guess I will. If we do not use God, and yet we profess that He is able, then we're just like trying to cut down a tree with a handsaw. We're missing everything God has for us because we're so focused on, I need to do this. I need to be independent. I need to follow this path. I need to follow that path. Rather than seeking His leadership in these things. So I want to encourage you as we walk through these next few weeks, realize that God is interested in being a part of your life, your family's life, other people's life, all the time. He's not just interested in a one-time shot and then it's over. He's interested in leading us and guiding us in that process. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, says, "The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night." Folks, God Himself is not only interested in bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, God is interested in what you are doing, what I am doing right now today. There's some principles, ideas that we can learn, and that's one of the things I want to do today, is talk to you about three unique stories, two from the life of Paul and one of them from probably you haven't read in a while unless you've been in the Old Testament, out of a widow's life and how God worked in her life. But today, as we think about Psalm 32, verse 8, it says, in the New Living Translation, the Lord says, "I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." Do you believe that? If you believe that, then when it comes to decisions in your life, you're going to ask God. You're not just going to say, "Hey, well, God must have given me an open door, so that must mean He wants me to go through that." Sometimes those open doors are for the purpose of teaching us how to follow Him. And sometimes He shuts a door because He doesn't want us to go through it. So as we look together, I want us to think about this reality. Psalm 73, verse 24 says, "You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny." We have a destiny. God has planned for our life. He has a purpose. And it's not just for those who are real religious. for those who are willing to cry out to Him and to seek His face. Remember the promise that God gave us. If you seek me, you will find me. He gave us that promise. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Here's one that you guys may have as a life verse, or you've heard it quoted many times. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will do what? He will make your path straight. He didn't say, I'm going to make your path easy. But He is the one who can lead us through our experiences the straightest way possible. And He is the one who has done that in the past. He's doing it right now. So let's look at these three stories. The first one I want us to focus on is in 1 Timothy 1:15. 1 Timothy 1:15. And I want you to think about this. God guides us through the failures of our past. God guides us through the failures of our past. Everybody here has a past? Some more regrets than others. Some, you look at your life and you say, man, I don't know how in the world God can love me. I don't know how in the world God can guide me through these challenges that I'm facing. We're listening over and over again to ourselves, to the evil one saying, hey man, hey woman, you have done some awful things. Is God able to guide us through that? Yes, He is. Paul says this in 1 Timothy 1:15. He said to Timothy, it is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then he added this note, among whom I am foremost of all. You think of Paul as a sinner? You know, the King James Version said, I'm the chief. I am the worst of the worst. One place in the scripture he talks about the fact that the reason why he felt so bad was because he persecuted the church. His actions, his labor was for that purpose. Tells us that he watched, held the coats of those who stoned Stephen. Now, we would call him an accomplice to Stephen's death, even though he never threw a stone. But he was the instigator. He was a part of what was going on during that time. And he says to himself, and he says to others, I am the foremost of all sinners. You know, really, as I think about it, if we don't all come to that place of humility before God, we are still going to live with our failures of the past. Because we're going to feel like, hey man, I'm bringing something to God. I'm doing something for God that He need. I'm really not that bad of a person. But what Paul said was, I really am a bad person. I really am a person who did this, allowed this to happen. How could God love me and care for me? How could God lead me? How could God guide me through these ordeals of life? Because God did not wait on us to love Him. God chose to love us first. And an expression of His love is to guide us through these failures in our past, the things that we have done before we met Christ, the things that we have done after we met Christ. What is it that the Bible says to us in Romans 8:28? And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, those called according to His purpose. God Himself is going to take even the failures of our past, and He is going to make something good. He's going to make something profitable. He's going to make something successful in our life because we are trusting in Him. We're depending on Him. We're seeking Him. We're allowing Him to work. Psalm 103, verse 12. It's hard to imagine, but it says this: as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. God Himself has taken the thing that exists that would separate us from seeing God's hand, from hearing God's voice, from following God's leadership, His counsel, His direction, and He has removed it from us through the person of Jesus Christ, so that we have the opportunity now to call upon Him and to seek His face and to hear His voice and to let Him speak to us. Corrie ten Boom says this: God buries our sin in the depths of the sea and then puts up a sign that reads, "No fishing." Amen. Amen. That's a good thing that He has done for us. And what we need to see is that is how God is guiding us through the failures of our past. He's guiding us through those failures by what? Forgiving us. And when He forgives us, He gives us the opportunity to boldly come before His throne and to allow Him to do a work in our life. So the first thing I want us to focus on is that reality. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, I want you to know we cannot get to Him. We cannot experience God's walking us through the failures of our past unless we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way it makes sense. You and I cannot make sense of our past, but God can. God can lead us and guide us through those experiences to accomplish something great in our life. So that's the first thing I want us to see as we look at this idea of God guiding us. The second thing is that God guides us through the complexities of our present. Anybody got hard things to understand in your life? Difficult things to wonder about and think to yourself, why in the world is this happening? What do I need to do about this? How do I need to raise my kids? How in the world can I find a job when I'm this old? They don't want me anymore. Are you at a place in your life where you're wondering, how in the world are we going to make it in the financial complexities that we're dealing with right now? How in the world am I going to survive inflation? How am I going to work through these problems, the problems of our circumstances, the problems of what we live through. I want to take you to a passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 27 and 28. I'm not going to read for you both of those chapters, but I want to talk about this story. The story in Paul's life of when he was going to go to Rome. And he was heading to Rome, and one of the things that they did was they provided him with a ship, and a commanding officer was there over the prisoners that they were taking to Rome. And as Paul goes out with that process, he goes through, he's on this ship. Well, sure enough, the ship begins to have some challenges, begins to face some problems. And God helps Paul navigate this shipwreck that he is going to be on. It says in chapter 27, verse 9, when considerable time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous. You ever been on a dangerous journey? Something that you feel like, man, if I make it through this, God, please help me make it through this. He prayed that at times. This shipwreck that Paul was a part of, he says to them, now Paul is a prisoner on this ship. He says, Paul began to admonish the people who were on the ship. Verse 10 says, and he said to them, men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with danger and great loss, not only the cargo in the ship, but also of our lives. But the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than by what was being said by Paul, because the harbor was not suitable for wintering. The majority reached a decision to put out to sea from there, if somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. When the moderate wind came up, supposing that they had attained their purpose, they weighed anchor and began sailing along Crete close inshore. Now, for everybody except for Paul, they thought, man, we've been given a reprieve. But look what it says in verse 14. But before very long, there rushed down from the land a violent wind. And when the ship was caught in it and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along. Now, take just a moment and put yourself in Paul's situation. Think about what it was like to be on this ship. He'd offered his opinion. His opinion had been rejected by what was going on here, by the other people who were saying, hey, I'm a professional at this. You're not. You're a prisoner. So why don't you just keep quiet and let us do our job? That's a paraphrase. So, they were in this situation. Paul himself was living with this challenge. And it says in verse 20, since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small storm was assailing us, from then on all hope of being saved was gradually abandoned. You've been there before? You've been facing a circumstance and you lost hope that God was going to come through. You lost hope maybe from things that were being said, things that people told you. You thought to yourself, these circumstances aren't going to work out for good. There's no way that they possibly can. Paul himself repeats his idea. He says to them, when the sailors are saying, what in the world are we going to do? He says in verse 24, do not be afraid. This is what God said to Paul. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Was God giving Paul a message? Yes, he was. Was God leading Paul? Yes, he was. In this experience, he was giving him confidence to stand in the midst of all that was going on. Verse 25 says, therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe that God, that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on a certain island. So, this process continues. Continues because not everybody is on Paul's page. Not everybody is excited about what is happening and feel as if God is going to save them. And so, they come up with a plan. They're going to throw all the prisoners overboard. And Paul, in verse 31, he said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men remain in the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved. Was God speaking to Paul? Was God leading Paul? Yes, he was. One of the things that Paul used as an encouragement to them was he said in verse 34, therefore I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your preservation, for not a hair from your head of any of you will perish. Man, isn't that a powerful word? You think about this moment. You think about how everything is against you. And yet Paul is speaking, not just he's hoping that everybody is going to be saved, but he is confident because God had been leading him. He's confident that everybody is going to be saved. Just to shorten the story, I want you to look in verse 44. In this story, the ship runs aground. They all jump off, and the soldiers want to kill the prisoners. But the centurion, what had God done in this process? He had given Paul the favor of the person that was in charge, the centurion. He gave Paul favor with him. That was part of his leading and part of his guiding. And then in verse 44, look at what it says. And so it happened. They all were brought safely to land. God himself was working in this situation to lead Paul to his ultimate destiny of going to Rome. And then for him to share the gospel with individuals that were in Rome. God himself was guiding Paul through these challenges, through these difficulties. Is God able to help you navigate the complexities of your life? What is it that you're dealing with right now? Do you feel as if God is not listening to you? Do you feel as if God doesn't know where you are? Do you feel as if God doesn't know everything that's going on around you? My friend, God does. And He is interested in leading us all on a daily basis. Not just saying, hey, here are the big things and you do the rest. God is interested in taking care of every part of our life if we will seek His face and let Him speak to us. You ever been at a time in your life where you have felt like, man, if I had only listened. If I had only listened to my spouse, or if I'd only listened to someone who was giving me some direction. Don't live with the regret of feeling like I should have listened to God. Don't put yourself in that situation, because God has a great plan for us if we're willing to seek Him. You know, the one thing that people tell us is that an eagle's eye is something that is a remarkable thing. They tell us that an eagle can see up to 2 miles in length. That's over 35 football fields. An eagle can see with precision at that distance. I don't know who found that out, but somehow they came up with something. Who created the eagle's eye? Who gave the eagle the ability to see so much further? And listen, my friend, who gives us the ability to see supernaturally? Supervision. God Himself. When He leads us, He leads us not so that He can say, hey, I'm in charge. But He leads us toward that which is best for us. He doesn't want us to live through the complications and the failures of our past. He wants to give us a present that walks us through these complexities, these challenges. And He wants to do it with precision. Imagine what it would be like to see where we are going from an eagle's eye. God can do that. He can help us navigate those complexities of our life. And if you're facing something today, you don't have answers, you can't see, you're blinded by your circumstances, I want to tell you, God Himself can lead you to the right answer. If you're willing to trust Him, you're willing to listen, and then you're willing to obey. We like hearing from God. Sometimes we say, is there anybody else left? Is there anybody else that can offer me a different opinion? But the reality is that God Himself knows the right way, and He's going to lead us in the right way when we choose Him. The third thing I want us to look at in this concept of God guides us is that God guides us through the uncertainties of our future. God guides us through the uncertainties of our future. I want you to take just a moment to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 8. If you've never read the Old Testament, you haven't read this story. But it's a good one. It's a good one. 2 Kings chapter 8. It's out of the life of Elisha. And he is going through life doing those things that are part of a prophet's ministry. And as part of that, he comes across a Shunammite woman who, her and her husband at the time, they give Elisha a place to stay. They give him a place for a respite, a place where he can be refreshed, a prophet's room is what some have called it, a place to just enter in the midst of all that's going on, and he can be undisturbed. And her and her husband did this for Elisha. And one of the things Elisha does to show her kindness is he asks God to give to her a son. And sure enough, she has a son. And several years later, the son is working and he talks about how bad his head is hurting, and he comes back home, and in the midst of that, he dies. And the Shunammite woman wants to go and spend time with Elijah to find out what in the world has gone on. I didn't ask for this, but you gave it. And now it's taken away from me. And this was his first experience that he had with her as he walked this journey. And one of the things that Elijah did for the woman is also tell her there's about to be, chapter 8, verse 1, Elijah speaks to this lady and says, arise, go with your household and sojourn wherever you can sojourn. For the Lord has called for a famine, and it will even come on the land for 7 years. Okay, remember that. That's very significant. For 7 years, she was caught in the midst of this famine because Elisha has sent her out. She was not caught in the midst of this famine because Elijah had sent her off. She had a position of failure, of favor that Elisha, as he was being an instrument of God, gave to her. And then I want you to notice what happens as we go on in chapter 8. It said that she had left. She had gone away. She'd lived in the Philistine region for 7 years. The woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went up to appeal to the king and for her house and for her field. Now the king was talking with Jahaz, and the servant, was talking to Gehaz, the servant of the man of God, saying, please relate to me all the great things that Elijah has done. As he was relating to the king how he restored to life the one who was dead, behold, talk about timing. Timing is a part of God's guidance in our life. behold, the woman whose son had been restored to life appeared to the king for her house and for her field. And Jahaz said, my lord, O king, this is the woman. This is her son whom Elisha restored to life. When the king asked the woman, she related it to him. So the king appointed for her what? A certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers and all the produce of the field from the day that she left the land even until now. God himself was leading her to show up at the exact moment that the servant of Elisha was sharing with the king this story of how her son had been raised to life. Now, that's not just coincidence. That's just not happenstance. It's just not something that goes on and you're in the right place at the right time. You're in the right place at the right time because God has led you there. And he has given you favor with the people who are going to make decisions and choices. That is all part of God's leadership in our life. That's all part of God's guidance in our life. And if you have not experienced that, my friend, you are missing one of the greatest blessings that God can give you as he guides you through the circumstances and the challenges and the uncertainties of what is ahead. When you and I stop and let God work, when you and I seek his face, he's going to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. Because he's that kind of God. He loves us that much. That's why he's guiding us. He doesn't want us to be sheep without a shepherd. He wants for us to know him. He wants for us to follow him. He wants for us to live according to the plans and the purposes that he has for us. The Jeremiah 29:11 passage. I know the plans I have for you. Does God have plans for you? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He doesn't have plans for all of us together, but he has plans for you. It may be your need to find a mate, a spouse. It may be things with your children. It may be your financial circumstances. It may be a health-related problem. It may be a job that you need. It may be a neighbor that's difficult to live with and to show compassion to. It may be a work associate. I don't know what it is, but I am confident of this reality. If you and I are willing to trust God to lead us in the areas of our life, the failures of our past, those things that are complex in our present that we're trying to work through, that we're trying to solve, and the uncertainties of the future. If we are willing to trust him to lead us through those things, God will be faithful to do it. He will show us his way, and he will lead us in the best pathway for our life. God will do that when we seek him. Are we seeking him today? Are we just going through the motions? Are we just trying to live until something else comes along? God has a purpose. Ask him. Ask him for that purpose in your life, in your circumstances, and he will be faithful to show it. Let's pray together.